It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Here we go. Hour number 2 of the Drive underway. It's Fan Run Radio, and the Top 4 at 4 is brought to you by G&J Auto Graphics. It's a free window tint Wednesday. Sign up now to win your free window tint here in an hour and a half when we draw our next winner live on the air. Go to fanrunradio.com/TINT. Register now. Here, back again. It's Marcus Young. What's up, Marcus?
Thank you, Russell. I had to make a decision on what I was going to have as number one on this, so forgive me, Bear. But at number one, the Braves clinched the NL East with a 2-1 victory over the Marlins. This is now their fifth back-to-back-to-back-to-back.
Yeah, because that was a big story out of Major League Baseball last night.
Marcus, I made a choice. I made a choice.
You missed one. It was back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back.
Sorry. My bad. I made a choice on who
I counted.
Big. Do you want to play the music or usually what? When I talk about the Braves during the
that's
top
what I was
four,
text.
Caught me flat footed.
Yeah, I mean, what do you?
Give me a second and cue it up. Go on with your report.
Yeah, 2-1.
It is absolutely ridiculous that you started with this. Now I've got to listen to this silliness.
2-1 win over the Miami Marlins on Tuesday night, and now sit 101-60 on the season. They already locked up a playoff spot with a 3-2 win over the Nationals in September, but this marks the fifth straight season which the franchise has won the division. Atlanta.
Just stop. No, keep going. This is your background music. Kneel before your superiors, Mets fans.
Eat it! Eat it! Eat it!
Atlanta is aiming to win back-to-back World Series titles after winning it all in 2021.
Now, we done? Moving on?
Yeah, whenever you're ready.
Just a minute. And go.
At number two, Aaron Judge hits number 62.
He broke what many thought was going to be the unbreakable record.
A 61-year-old record from Roger Maris.
You remember Roger Maris was so stressed out that season that his hair was falling out in clumps because at that time it was Babe Ruth's record.
Yeah.
Right? And people didn't want this plain kind of unmythic figure, very non-Babe Ruthian figure to break that record, and he just kept after it, but the press was hounding. His hair fell out. Literally. Like yours, Bear. It's gone. Aaron Judge didn't have that problem. He's a shaved head, right? He doesn't have any hair.
Right, yeah.
Like Bear.
Yeah. Sorry, that caught me off guard.
Good look. He's speechless. He caught a stray. Can't even think of a comeback right now.
All right.
Look at him. He's rattled. He's shook.
All right, bright ass. It'll be one of those days, huh?
At number three, sticking with MLB news, the Los Angeles Angels retain Phil Nevin as the manager for the 2023 season. He will have his interim title removed. They are giving him a one-year contract before the final game of the regular season. They will miss the Angels for the will miss the playoffs for the eighth straight year.
Okay, so I'm not an expert when it comes to these baseball economics issues, but what are all these one-year deals? You sign up your manager for 1 year. They got Ohtani back for 1 year. You would think Ohtani, as young as he is, isn't this where you sign the big, massive deal?
I don't know. Who owns them?
I'm not sure. My curiosity with the interim coach, my thing is, especially since they're missing the playoffs, makes me wonder if they want to have like a prove-it year. You know, make sure that he's
prove it year
for the interim coach.
That's such a wasted year, unless they really hit big.
Well, it depends on. Look at what Boston's doing. I mean, their coach is going to have his contract coming up soon, and he's suspended for an entire year. So, I don't know.
That guy'll never coach again in Boston.
It's probably not.
I don't think.
Yeah, probably not. At number four.
Sorry, I'm watching the game
okay.
over here.
No, you're good.
Go ahead with your thing.
So Paul Chryst, who was let go by Wisconsin, Apparently had
go. He got fired.
Okay. Let's try to be nice about it. Apparently, he will only be taking a buyout of $11 million. But according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, his buyout was actually supposed to be $20
million. Ain't no way I'm leaving $9 on the table. And I got a contract.
According to athletic director Chris McIntosh, Chris was due to receive paid 85% of the remaining value of his five-year contract after being fired on Sunday. He said, quote, we agreed to $11 million in one or two installments.
You think so? Was there something going on behind the scenes where they're like, look,
well, now, hold on.
It could get ugly. We fire you for cause unless you just go ahead and agree to this. Let's not tie this thing up in court for a couple of years, like Jeremy Pruitt and all that stuff.
No.
Here's $11 million, half of what we owe you. Let's just walk away.
I think it was they offered it in, what, two installments?
They said he said in one or two installments.
Yeah, he was just wanting to go ahead and get cut a big check and be done. And I'd be willing to bet that it would be structured where he'd just – it'd be spread out over what? The rest of the life of the contract.
Right? I would have taken every cent. If you're saying my buyout's $20 million.
Yeah, but it's kind of like the lottery, man. You get to a certain point where, yeah, you go ahead and I'll take $11 million. Save you $9, but you got to give me the $11 right now. Cash. That's my cash price.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, $11 million, $20 million is still a lot of money, but good for him, I guess.
We can ask Bill Bender here in a little bit. Is that it?
Yes, that was four.
All right, thank you, Marcus. That is the Top 4 at 4 brought to you this afternoon by G&J Auto Graphics. Again, it's a free window tint Wednesday here on Fan Run, and your next chance to win is coming up here in about 80 minutes or so, 5:30. Our next drawing, Jeff from G&J is going to join us on the air here, and we will dig deep and pick out another winner for free window tint Wednesday. Go to fanrunradio.com/tint. FanRunRadio.com/TINT to get registered to win this $300 prize, give or take a few bucks depending on the size of your car, windows and all that stuff from G&J Auto Graphics. All right, we're talking a little Tennessee football, getting ready for Vols and LSU coming up this weekend down in Baton Rouge. Don't forget, as soon as the game is over, we'll be live right here on your, well, not right here, but on your FanRun app. If you're listening to the app right now, yes, we'll be here. But if you're listening on radio, no. We're going to do it live on Twitter Spaces. It'll also be streamed to the app. So you can listen in a variety of ways. If you want to call in and participate, you're going to have to create a Twitter account. Get on Twitter Spaces and hit us up that way. Been having a lot of fun with these, and hopefully we keep things rolling.
I love the 12 o'clock games as far as how it times out for voluntary reaction.
It's a little bit rough, those 7 o'clock games, particularly if you get up, you got something to do Saturday morning.
You got kids and you got other things.
That all, like, and you get that normal tired feeling that all adults, I think, get around like 3 or 4 in the afternoon, and then you realize, wait a minute.
That game doesn't even start for another 3 hours.
I've still got 3 hours till the game starts, a 3.5-hour football game, and then, so it's like 6 hours until the post game starts, and who knows how long it's going to go. And whew, put on some coffee.
But these are fun because we get to watch. I mean, I'm assuming we're going to watch
Bama.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's the evening.
Georgia. We'll watch Georgia dismantle.
I don't know. Will we? I feel like there's probably going to be a better game on in that slot.
I don't know who. We haven't even looked at some of the other matchups out this weekend.
And, you know, is Georgia – was last week just a case of them not taking Missouri seriously, and this will be a wake-up call, and they're going to come up full of piss and vinegar against Auburn and do the thing?
I don't know. I mean, I still I've got a bear theory on what happened, just you know, armchair psychiatrist. But, I mean, they kind of gassed that Missouri team up with that pregame. I know we talked about it on voluntary reaction.
So you think
no, we didn't have
voluntary reaction.
No, we didn't.
So you think
we
that
talk about it.
Missouri was overlooking Georgia and they
No. I think that Georgia did a very typical, like, old school Georgia kind of thing where a couple of their players meandered down pregame into the Missouri side of the field and there was a dust up. Somebody got punched. I don't know if that gassed up the Missouri team and Georgia was kind of taking them lightly or what. But
I mean, maybe that helped, but I think it was more they're just taking them lightly. They're just overlooking them, man. Yeah. It's Mizzou.
Because you saw what happened in the fourth quarter of that game.
Well, and I just this is part of the genius of Saban is how he was able to get that team up every single week for the past 15 years is really impressive, because even when Tennessee was at its zenith under Philip Fulmer, and this hurts to admit, but we were never as good as they've been down there. There were weeks where you came out and just laid an egg and lost to teams that you shouldn't have lost to. And that has rarely happened. I can't even think of one. I'm sure it's happened. Alabama, maybe last year against A&M. I mean,
they're
pretty good.
I don't think you can really count that as
I know, right? They get Auburn, but that's the Iron Bowl.
You're talking about a team like where Tennessee's been at during this recent period. They aren't getting clipped by somebody like us right now. And they just start losing those games.
Maybe Ole Miss those 2 years, but those were pretty good teams too.
Yeah, but man, not like every time we think he's, is this going to be it for Saban? He comes back and he does something happens during the season that impresses me more. Like that deal Saturday, they lost the best quarterback in college football. They didn't miss a beat, Russell.
So I think for Georgia, can they match that? If they are truly the new Alabama, that's what they've modeled their entire thing after down there, and they're very good. Obviously, they're defending national champions. But can they achieve that level of consistency? And that's why last week was so surprising. Nobody expected them. And they're a 29.5-point favorite this week against Auburn, and I kind of like Auburn to cover that. I don't think they're going to beat Georgia, but I don't see this Georgia team blowing people out much this year.
No, but I think if they play that way, there's a handful of teams that if they play the way they played against Missouri again, they could get beat. And I think Tennessee's in that handful of teams. I think Florida's in there, Tennessee and Kentucky.
Speaking of Kentucky, let's get TJ, the Kentucky fan, in here this afternoon. TJ, what's up?
Russell.
Yo.
Hang the daggone banner.
It's fired up. TJ, 5 years in a row, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Brandon Orrick and all the rest of you Mutz fans.
Hey, they're actually called the New York Melts.
What about them, TJ? What about
the
Mutz?
TJ.
I tell you, you know what? Look, you know, the Braves last night became the sixth team since 1990 to not be swept in a single season.
Wow.
That's actually incredible.
That's incredible.
And I think I jinxed it because 3 nights ago I said it, but on 161, game 161, if they would not have bunted last night or tonight, they would have been the only team in MLB history to have not put down a sacrifice bunt in a 162-game season. They did it on game 161.
And they didn't even get the runs in.
No, they didn't.
So maybe there's a lesson learned there. Do you think Snitker was aware of that when he was doing it? You think he's aware of that number?
Probably not. I mean,
they're just in desperation mode trying to win the division right there.
Hey, look, I tell you this, though. I will say this. If anybody out there is a Braves fan, like myself, like Russell, like all the good folks, and if you think Snitker still isn't the guy for the job, I just don't know what to tell you.
I mean, he's Johnny Lunchbox, man. He just punches that time clock every day, puts in his work. No, he's not perfect. Yeah, there's some head-scratching moments, as always. With any coach, any manager, there's going to be those. But take a step back, take the 10,000-foot view, and look at the record, man. It speaks for itself.
Well, not only that, look at the injuries we had. Acuna didn't even get his first game in until close to the All-Star break or afterwards. I mean, Ozzie Albies went down. Soroka went down again. I saw a stat last night. I think it was Dansby Swanson has played with 9 different second basemen this year.
Yeah. Wow.
That's insane.
It is insane.
Hey, and I saved the last part for the end because I know Bears going to get mad. But Judge didn't break any record last night. The record 73. Y'all have a good one.
You're done here, sir. I'm going to dignify that with a flush button, my friend.
People get so worked up about that on both sides. And I just, it's like, look, man.
Honestly, I don't care.
You don't have to put an asterisk next to Bonds or McGuire or Sosa. But we all know it's there. We all just sort of know it. When I say the name Barry Bonds to – when I say Barry Bonds to you, Marcus, what's the first couple things that come to mind?
I mean, the first thing is being juiced up.
That's the first thing that you think of.
Yeah.
And you're a casual baseball fan at best, right? So
barely, yeah.
That is what people think about when you think about Barry Bonds. So that's already out there. What do you think about when I say Aaron Judge to you right off the top? You think about this, what's going on now?
Because
there's recency bias.
Also, you know, in the middle of college football, they just decide to swap over and show that off. So.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
So that's already out there, man. You don't have to do anything to in Cooperstown. I guess he's not even in there yet. That's another conversation. But I would say, yeah, you put those guys in Cooperstown, you don't have to have a separate wing of the Hall of Fame for them. You don't have to literally put an asterisk on the bust. We all know the deal. We all know the deal.
It's like Wade Boggs. I mean, the first thing I think of when I think of him is that report.
Drinking 200 beers?
Yeah. Yeah.
In a single flight?
Do you think he did it?
I think 200 is a rough estimate, but I maybe got up to 100 or whatever it was.
Because I feel like he probably even, like, it's like a fish story. Like, you kind of, like,
yeah,
go a little bit yeah. further.
Well, anybody who's, and you have a lot of experience, obviously, being blown away. But once you get past a certain point, you stop counting.
Yeah, you do.
You're not even close.
You don't know right? where you are.
People's, that's like old college stuff. You're freshman, your roommate. I drank 17 beers last night. Like, dude. You drank 4 beers, and then it got a little fuzzy after that, okay? Nobody thinks you were still keeping a diligent track of how many beers you were drinking at beer number 18, okay?
You drank way too many beers. That's
we drank beer, yeah. Liked beer, still like beer.
All of the above.
Let's take a quick break. We'll go on a bender with Bill. When we continue, it is The Drive. On a free window tint Wednesday, courtesy of G&J Auto Graphics. We're back with more right after this. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russell LeBaire and Marcus back with you. Let's go on a bender with Bill of the Sporting News, joining us on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Good afternoon, Bill. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, always a pleasure to talk with you, my friend, get a little flavor of what's going on up there in Big Ten country, the other super conference in college football. Explain this to us. We were just talking, Bill, about Paul Chryst at Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Reports that he had $20 million left on his contract. He has apparently accepted an $11 million buyout. And we're speculating on why anybody would accept $9 million less than what they might have been owed. Can you walk us through that?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, obviously that was an abrupt ending. This is the business of college football carousel now, though, right? It's become a thing where where it used to be in November, you would see the hirings and firings start. Now it's October 31st. I mean, there were 5 last year by Halloween. There are already 5 Power 5 coaches that have been fired now. I really think the job cycle starts at the beginning of the season, as strange as that sounds, and then some of these schools get started on the next one.
Well, you talk about no patience. I mean, the guy was 9-4 the year before. Okay, it's COVID year, but the year before that, he's in the Big Ten championship game, did it 3 times in 4 years there. Obviously they're struggling this season, but outsider's view down here, Bill, I just sort of looked at Wisconsin as a very solid program. No, they're not knocking on the door of the college football playoff necessarily, but always a factor in the Big Ten race. What went wrong up there for them? Is it just as simple as losing 2 conference games this year?
I think 20-15 since COVID is their record. And what struck me, I was at the Ohio State game a couple weeks ago, and that's normally a game. It's normally a game where Wisconsin might not win, but it would at least be a physical game and a close game and those kind of things. Now it's like that. Ohio State dominated them on the scoreboard and up front physically on both sides of the ball. So, you know, I'm wondering if this was in place for a little bit. Is this Jim Leonard's audition for the job? And obviously he's a pretty good one. And, you know, I think that's what we're going to see over the next 7 weeks is if he's going to be that full-time job, or are they going to go for a guy like Lance Leopold at Kansas, who obviously has a track record as Wisconsin Division III coach, 6 national championships with Wisconsin Whitewater.
Yeah, one more thing on Chris before we get into that. I love this quote from Bielema, who, ironic there, that he was the guy to drive the final nail in the coffin for Chris. Says, it's a grim reminder of the world we live in. Quote, I've been in that rodeo. So he kind of has some background there, I guess. So, yeah, I mean, that's the kind of the feeling I get here, Bill, is that this is – Jim Leonard has been a hot name in coaching circles for a long time now. He's a Wisconsin guy. It feels like this is very much an audition for him. What do you think he has to do to keep that job?
Well, I don't know if it's about wins and losses. I just wonder what they'll look like. I mean, You look at their schedule, it's manageable over the next 7 games. There's still a chance that Wisconsin could play for the Big Ten championship if you look at the Big Ten West. You could literally throw a dart at any of those teams and they could win the division. So I think it's about seeing if they have that kind of improvement, you know, those kind of things. And if not, like I said, Lance Leopold should be their first call, because I think if he's not going to go there, Nebraska is going to make that call. I know Lance said he's happy where he's at, the Associated Press this week, but happiness can change in college football. It can change pretty quick, as you guys know.
Yeah, I'd be happy too. 5-0 at Kansas. I mean, that's pretty cool. But this is what they all say. Like, nobody's going to – you're not going to stick a microphone in front of that guy's face. Hey, Coach, big openings over there at Nebraska, Wisconsin. What do you think about it? Oh, I can't wait to get – I mean, I'm at freaking Kansas. Can you imagine? No, he's going to say that and play the game. But that's pretty impressive, first of all, what he's done. And then secondly, for a guy this late in his career, I mean, he's 58 years old, Bill, and it looks like he's about to get a shot at the big time.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, he's got probably one more move in it. And, yeah, to your point, yeah, they'd say, yeah, I talked to Nebraska today. I'll talk to Wisconsin tomorrow. We'll play TCU on Saturday. We got game day coming in. Yeah, none of them say that. more than impressed with what he's done at Kansas, though, this offense averaging over 40 a game, who I don't think any of us, I can say safely, I did not have Kansas and TCU where game day would be if you would have said it's a Big 12 game but not Oklahoma, Texas. Where are they going to be this week? And, of course, it's there. So very impressed with what they've done. Also very mystified that Oklahoma and Texas are sitting at this part of the season with 2 losses each.
Bill Bender of the Sporting News with us this afternoon on the show. Bill, Ohio State obviously carrying the flag there for the Big Ten. Them in Michigan, but a little slow out of the gates with the – lackluster win over Notre Dame to start the season. Since then, they just quietly go about dismantling teams. Is Ohio State kind of where we all thought they would be at this point back in the summer?
Yeah, their offense is really good, and their talent is unmatched offensively, I think, maybe across the entire country. That I think the surprising part for me is the new pieces that have emerged. You know, Mayan Williams, 5 touchdowns last week, as Trevion Henderson's kind of other running back. He's nursed some injuries. Cade Stover stepping in at tight end. I mean, the scariest part, if you look at Ohio State, is Jackson Smith and Jigba hasn't played much. He played a little bit in the opener, a little bit in another game, but he's been dealing with that hamstring injury, and I wrote a piece before the season, said he could be the best player in college football. So, and their defense fits. So I do think they belong in that conversation with Alabama and Georgia. And you know, if one of us says Alabama, one says Georgia, your producer says Ohio State, we all say those are the number one team, I think we all have a pretty good case.
What happened with their deal in Shiano this past weekend? As we all know, you know, Shiano was on that staff under Urban Meyer, I guess, and just take us through that. There's something about a late fake punt or onside kick or go for it or something like that, and Shiano took offense and went full Greg Shiano.
Well, what happened was Rutgers lined all their guys up on the other side, so the Ohio State punter took the snap. Nobody's standing there. He just took off. So that's part one of it. It wasn't a design fake. The punter made the call on his own. He gets drilled out of bounds by a Rutgers player, which was a pretty egregious hit because it was out of bounds. Schiano comes across the sideline. There's some history there. Obviously, Ryan Day and Greg Schiano coached together for a year at Ohio State. So the way I look at it is, and then they kind of made up afterward, and I think Ryan Day explained what happened. So it wasn't a fake punt. The punter took off. If he's hit in bounds, that's game on, man. If your punter's going to take off, but he was hit out of bounds and it's pretty dirty. And, you know, I'm all for that, though. I think Shiano stuck up for his players and Day stuck up for his players. And that's really what it comes down to.
The Buckeyes are currently listed as an 11.5-point favorite over Michigan on FanDuel. Now, obviously, a lot of football to be played between now and then. But what's your gut feeling on that game? Is, first of all, is that shaping up to be a matchup of two unbeatens the last week of the regular season?
Well, every time we try to say that, it reminds me of 2006 when they actually did it, but that was the only time it actually happened. So, I mean, I think for Michigan, we're going to find out over the next couple of weeks. They play Penn State next week. That'll be a fun game. Next Saturday, I hate skipping ahead. Next Saturday could be the best Saturday of the schedule with Bama and Tennessee and Michigan and Penn State and Utah and USC and Oklahoma State and TCU. It could really be one of those shape-shifting Saturdays for the entire season. So maybe I could get a T-shirt and get that trademarked right away. But, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I do like Michigan. I like what they're doing with McCarthy. I like the running game. Their defense is a little bit better than I expected as well.
And the Buckeyes are a 26.5-point favorite this week at Michigan State. Bill, that is a stunning line to me when you consider Mel Tucker, all the success they had last year, and they have stumbled this year, to put it mildly. Is he kind of the Jimbo Fisher of the Big Ten, where he signs that huge contract, he's virtually unfireable because of the finances of it, and now maybe some of those fans are like, oh, wait a minute, why did we do that again?
Well, I think, you know, for me, it's the exact same conversation. Like, SEC fans are probably pointing at Texas A&M as a major disappointment in the early season. You know, ranked number 6, lose to App State, lose last week, probably going to lose this week and be 3-3. I don't think any of us in Big Ten country saw Michigan State losing 3 in a row, much less the way they're losing. Washington, you could kind of see that because they were out of the Pac-12 team. Then losing, getting nearly shut out by Minnesota, and then taking it too by Maryland, who Maryland's not too bad, by the way, and now they got to play Ohio State. I think their biggest problem is they kind of hit the transfer portal lottery with Kenneth Walker III last year, and now they're having trouble running the ball, maintaining a consistent running game, and when that happens, they get into trouble.
Very interesting, very interesting. Bill, always a pleasure, my friend. Any thoughts your way out the door on Tennessee and LSU this week down on the Bayou?
Well, I know it's been a while for the Vols, but I think if they continue to take care of the football, Hendon Hooker does that, which he's done so well. They take care of business, they win, and like I said, next week maybe we can catch up again, because that's going to be a fun week, I'm sure, for you guys down there if Alabama and Tennessee go into that game unbeaten.
Armageddon. Productivity in East Tennessee will be at an all-time low if that is the case. It might be that way anyway.
Well, enjoy that. So, and thanks so much for having me on, as always. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks, Bill. Bill Bender of the Sporting News, at BillBender92 on Twitter, does a great job covering college football up there. And, yeah, it looks like Lance Leipold is destined to be coaching in the Big Ten. Like, it just kind of feels that way. He was up there at Wisconsin-Whitewater. They want him.
Yeah,
Nebraska
I was listening
wants him.
To I didn't realize until I was listening to the boys this morning. I didn't realize how many Wisconsin ties he's got.
Yeah. Well, he was there forever. Wisconsin-Whitewater? Is that the place?
Yeah, apparently, according to the, you know, the guys, he built that into a powerhouse.
Well, and that's like a level below Carson Newman.
Yeah.
And he was able to win like 11 consecutive national championships or something there. It's a school where everybody pays their own way. You have to buy your own cleats, you wash your own stuff. Like, it's crazy. And he turned them into a juggernaut.
Yeah, I mean, against he ripped off what'd you say, 9 championships against comparable talent.
If you and who found him, who gave him his break?
I know I should know this. You've told me probably 100 times. Danny White?
Banner Dan. Hired him at Buffalo.
He couldn't hire him for here.
He couldn't.
But should he have?
Well, we're all happy with the yeah. current situation, obviously.
Yeah, we've got Merlin, the offensive genius.
But he, I mean, he's 5-0 at Kansas. That's just as impressive as Heupel being 4-0 here. Maybe more.
Earn more respect after they beat, you know, Iowa State's a solid program.
So put yourself in his shoes. You can go, and who knows, man, maybe this keeps up. He has his, maybe Auburn is on the table for that guy. But right now, between...
Oh, if I'm him, there's no way in hell I'd take that Auburn job.
Right now, between Wisconsin and Nebraska, which are the two programs you're hearing him mention for, like, which, what do you like there?
If I'm him, I go to Wisconsin because he was also a grad assistant, I believe, under Alvarez up there.
Ah, okay.
91, 92.
So familiarity with the program, familiarity with Madison, familiarity with the state in general. I'm sure he recruited all over Wisconsin Whitewater.
Yeah, Barry Alvarez gave him his first – sounds like his first big, you know, break
and,
as a GA. It still goes a long way up there.
Well, and historically, yes, Nebraska is the better program, but in the last 20 years
– I think it's easier to recruit at Wisconsin than it is Nebraska.
Well, they've been to multiple Rose Bowls.
Yeah, they can recruit on the West Coast. They can recruit
– Wisconsin can recruit on the West Coast. Madison is a
– visible.
Well, Madison is a much cooler – place, you know, just town. It's a college vibe.
I mean, it's cold. It's going to be cold.
It's cold as hell.
Cold as hell, Big Ten football. But
that's the capital of that state. I mean, there's some stuff going on there. It's not Lincoln.
Maybe recruiting California is wrong. They are a visible college football brand nationwide.
Is Lincoln the capital of Nebraska? You would give me a look like, yeah.
Yes, that is it.
It is Lincoln?
Still.
It is so flat there.
I've never been to either town, but I just feel like, based off what I've read, maybe the occasional picture or two, that Madison would be a much better place to live than Lincoln, Nebraska.
A guy I know went on a recruiting visit there when it was cold. Like,
where?
Took a cold to Nebraska back in the day, back when they were good. And he said it was a different kind of cold.
Wind
never
came
wanted.
Blowing off the plains.
Exactly.
Froze you to the bone.
He said it was like that. Wind was howling, and it was cold, and he'd never been that cold in his life, and he never wanted to be that cold again. So he immediately eliminated Nebraska.
I'd coach Nebraska.
You would?
Yeah.
I'm sure they'd love to have you, Marcus. Can't be any worse than some of the boobs they've had. What's your plan to turn Nebraska around? Give me your 5-point plan here.
5-point plan? Yes. Well, we're going to establish the run game.
Oh.
Gonna have.
How do you plan on doing that?
Let's not get bogged down in detail.
hold on. I gotta get my other 4 out. So we're gonna establish the run game, dominate the line of scrimmage, be elite on special teams.
Wow, he's got the press conference coach speak down already.
We're going to
play clean football,
play clean football,
complimentary football.
Bring back the black shirts.
You know, maybe. I haven't really decided yet. I've been really focused on the prep for the players right now, trying to make sure that they're ready game in, game out. You know, we got to take it one day at a time, make sure that
was a big deal recruiting-wise for those guys to be a part of the black shirt defense.
Yeah. Do they still do that?
I don't know if they do.
I feel like,
very, you know, it's not.
I feel like maybe Pelini tried to bring it back, but when you suck, you can't just put a sticker on the back of your helmet and say, "Where are the black shirts?" It's like, yeah, but you just gave
it's
up 500 yards.
The line from Tommy Boy. That reminds me of.
Can you repeat that line?
Not well enough to do it justice right now.
And yeah, like you just don't remember the line, or it's obscene?
A little of both.
Oh.
And I don't want to Tommy Boy it.
Yeah. Stay with us. The Drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. Bill appears, as all Fan Run guests do, via the magic of the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Big Orange Phillies, 6625 Maynardville Pike in Halls. Great spot for a quick lunch with co-workers or burgers and beers with friends after work. Of course, they've got live music on the weekends, karaoke, pool, darts. They've got it all at Big Orange Phillies. Check out their full menu online at BigOrangePhillies.com. We pause for the cause. More of your phone calls coming up. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. 865-546-8200, and we get straight back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines where Trey is up next. What's up, Trey?
What's up, fellas?
Hey, how's it going?
I was going to talk about, but since we're talking about Big Ten football, I think Nebraska's pretty much dead forever. I mean, if you're an elite player, like, why would you go there? I mean, if you want NIL, you want money, you want to get coached up, I mean, you're not, like, they just can't compete, not to mention, you know, the area it's in is talent devoid and sucks. So if you were an up-and-coming coach, why would you take that job when you could probably get paid buku bucks to go somewhere else?
Well, I agree. Now, we would all say the same thing about Kansas, right? That's a graveyard job. That's just a terrible place to go. And yet Lance Leipold has been able to walk in there and turn them around in year two, and they're a cute story in college football. So, A, you could hire him and hope that he can do the same thing, because if you can do it at Kansas, why couldn't you do it at Nebraska? Or, B, you could go and find the next Lance Leipold and hire and try and find the next big thing. So, I mean, it's what people said about Tennessee over the years, and I always say, look, you keep trying, man. You don't just keep a guy because, well, it's Butch Jones had one good season, and I don't know, who are we going to get? Like, who could we possibly – I don't know. You take your chances, you hire somebody, and if it doesn't work out, then you fire him and you keep trying until you get somebody.
Well, I'm not saying you don't try. I'm just talking about from an outsider's perspective, trying or not.
It's an uphill battle. It's a tough gig for sure.
I mean, I think the NIL stuff is kind of like, you know, what Saban said about the transfer portal. The rich will get richer. And it did equalize the playing field with universities that can afford it, that have the booster base, you know, write an $8 million check to an unproven quarterback in high school. Not naming any names there. But, yeah. You know, I just don't see Nebraska being able to compete with a – you know, to get back to the level they were at.
The NIL should help them, though, I would think. I mean, I'm not an expert on their fan base and their booster structure and everything, but they have a proud tradition, lots of old money folks that have grew up watching Cornhusker football, remember the glory days, just like here, just like Tennessee. Every time I turn on a Nebraska game, they've got their stadium is full. It's a beautiful setting for college football. The people there care, man. So if they have some big wig boosters who are willing to shell out for NIL and they can get some players, yeah, Lincoln, Nebraska might not be the most fun place for a college-age young man to live, but if you're paying my son $1 million a year to go, I'll send him.
No, I get that, but I'm just saying unless they're going to way overpay, I mean, if those players are good, they're going to get that money elsewhere. I mean, for every booster they have, I mean, you got teams in the SEC that could probably match them 2-for-1. So, I don't know. I think it's a dead program. But anyway, fellas, on to Saturday and Beauregard Kelly. How do you guys see this game unfolding? Because I was watching the LSU Auburn game. Their defensive ends are legit. I personally think, you know, our best bet is to hit them up the middle with a lot of QB runs and, you know, quick slants, quick routes. I don't know if we're going to kill them with a bunch of deep balls, at least until we get those ends to back off and respect the run. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see if Tennessee can run the ball between the tackles. I'm intrigued to see how much they use Hooker in the run game. How beat up is he? Is whatever injury he suffered against Florida, is that something that's lingering still? He's got to learn to get down, man. We all love his toughness and his game, but there are a couple of hits that he's taken that are pretty easily avoidable. He's just got to slide. And, yeah, you might give up 2 or 3 yards doing that, but if it prevents you from taking the big hit that causes you to miss 2 or 3 games, then it's absolutely worth it.
Yeah, he's not Gumby like Dobbs was. I mean, Dobbs, you feel like, you know, you'd hit him and he would just kind of melt into it. You couldn't hurt the man. So I do agree he's got to learn to get down, or we're going to see if Milton ready to step up this year, which I don't want. But, you know, I don't know. I would worry if we tried to get deep on him a lot early. Same time, though, I could see us being up 21-0 in the first quarter. LSU's a slow starting team. We haven't been as quick starting this year as we were last year, but I could see us jumping out 10 early lead. And that, honestly, if you guys want to know the truth, that would make me more nervous than if it was a close game until like the third or fourth quarter. Because if we got a big lead and then just set on it, I would not feel comfortable at all.
I know.
If we let,
I know. I have the same thing, man. I feel you.
All right, fellas, that's all I got for today. I'm going to hop off here and let you get some other people on.
Thank you, Trey. Appreciate the phone call.
Just want to say Nebraska's a dead job until I get there.
Until Marcus takes over with his 5-point plan.
Yeah.
Establish the run, baby. Bring back the black shirts.
Marcus, like Nebraska football.
Marcus is just going to roll up his sleeves and
start running the waist strap.
Yeah, just a little elbow grease is all it takes, man.
You've got 180
scholarships.
You
got to want it more.
Going to get Nebraska back into contention.
I know my quarterback's only 5'8" and 140 pounds soaking wet, but he's got heart. You can't measure. Martin is next. What's up, Martin?
Not too much, Russell. I got a question for Marcus.
Yes. Martin and Marcus, a meeting of the minds here.
Marcus?
Yes, Martin.
What do you think about our Celtics picking up Blake Griffin?
You know, I'm intrigued. I don't think he's going to become a starter this. He's probably going to get some bench minutes.
It's a veteran presence off the bench.
Yeah, it's all going to depend on his health. If he is healthy completely, then, you know, he could be a really good role player for us this season. I did watch an interview where he talked about how the locker room, when he got in there, was just super welcoming and really tight-knit group, and it just, he was excited to be a part of it. So, you know, I'm excited to see what they can do.
As opposed to the dysfunctional hellhole he just left in New Jersey?
Exactly.
And Russell?
Brooklyn, sorry.
Do you think D. Williams will start this weekend against LSU?
I don't think he'll start. And
you think he's going to play?
I don't know. Probably not.
This mythical figure to me now.
If we're getting torched, if the Tennessee secondary is just getting destroyed and we start rotating corners back there as they've been wont to do, then, and he's healthy, then yeah, maybe you throw him out there and see what he can. I don't think he's going to return a punt. I don't think you want his first time returning kicks against LSU and Death Valley. That seems like you're asking an awful lot.
Sounds like a scenario where you could ruin it, Marcus.
In Knoxville News Sentinel, and Hypo said that he might get to play some this weekend.
I'd like to see it. I think we need a dynamic return guy in the punt game, and I'd like to see him back there instead of Flowers, provided he can field it cleanly, consistently.
He was the number 3 defensive back in the country coming out of junior college.
He had a nice reputation, for sure. And Tennessee needs help back there. They are not good at that position. So,
Russell?
Yeah.
We've already signed 6 defensive backs. Got 6 commitments from defensive backs.
We got help coming.
Yeah, it's obvious that they want to add to that position. So they're going to have opportunities to play right away, I'd imagine.
Are we going to get one more, too? Or do you know?
I think they are trying to get one more. There's a kid out in Utah they like that they're trying to get to come out here. And then here's the other thing you got to remember is Warren Burrell will have at least one, if not two more years of eligibility left because he did not play in four games this year. So that's a redshirt year, and he has the COVID year. So he could figure back into the mix next year. And I know people are down on him, and he didn't play well the first couple of games out there. But if he's healthy, he's going to have more experience than anybody in that room. And Martinez likes him. So don't count him out just yet, yes. I would say.
What I'm waiting to see is, if we do well, Russell, people will be coming after our coaches.
Yeah.
That's the nature of the beast, though.
Well, and I don't think Heupel's going anywhere, but somebody's going to hire Alex Golish to run their offense.
We gave him a raise up to $1.2 million.
Where could you see him going from here?
Golish?
Yeah.
Anywhere. Anybody who's looking.
As a head coach or as a coordinator?
As a coordinator or a head coach. People are going to look. If Tennessee finishes number one overall in total offense like they are, people are going to want some of that. And he's the coordinator, and I don't think he calls plays. I know,
but he's his right-hand man.
I know, yeah. He runs those practices and very involved, knows the system.
Yes. Well, I appreciate you, Russell.
Appreciate you, buddy.
All right, bye.
Thank you.
Question is who?
Lane Kiffin tried to hire him this offseason.
Could you see an NFL team trying to hire him? Or you think we're still off from –
Who, Heupel or
Golish?
Golish as a coordinator?
Just get him into the NFL.
I mean, is that system going to work in the NFL?
I don't know. Will the NFL rules allow that system to exist?
That's what I'm saying. Nobody plays that fast in the NFL.
Yeah.
And nobody plays with the super wide splits or anything.
Nobody used to play with spread concepts in the NFL.
That's
and RPOs and
to
all
me
that.
One
that
of the great
college.
One of the great things about the college game, one of the many things that I like it more than the pro game.
Right.
And I like the pro game. This is not coming off the pro game, but you get that variety. Teams run the option, teams run pro style, teams run the spread. There's different spreads. Like what Tennessee does is not very similar to what Mississippi State does. And you get all these different kind of things. And the NFL, there's a little bit of variation. Like, obviously, what the Patriots are doing right now does not necessarily look like what the Chiefs are doing. But it looks somewhat similar. I mean, there's a lot of same formations, and teams just kind of play the same way.
Well, it's because it all started back with, what's that guy's name, Tiger Ellison?
Old Tiger Ellison. That's what I've always said. Yes, Bear. It started with old Tiger.
Well, no. I mean, Tiger Ellison's who the original inventor of the running. It's what everything sprang from. Look at
everything.
All these spread offenses.
I used the spread offense, Big Bang.
No, run and shoot.
I thought it was Don Coryell.
No, Tiger
Ellison. No, it was Tiger?
Check it out.
Over Don?
Check out Tiger Ellison.
I do my research.
We do our research.
You haven't done anything on this.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.